Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Wow, welcome to All About Android, episode 79, recorded on Tuesday, October 2nd, 2012. It's your weekly source for all the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Eileen Rivera.
Chad, you did nothing wrong. That was perfect. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards, and this is an explosive start to our show.
It really is.
That was intentional.
If you were watching the video of our show, I flinched because our transition, which is normally like a fade
it's
or something,
it's
was
a subtle,
subtle kind of transition to
it's
me.
It's like peaceful birds floating through the sky normally.
All of a sudden, it was a loud explosion. And I just almost lost it, but I held it together.
Chad has decided.
It doesn't really matter for the audio listeners.
Chad has decided we need a little more energy to the transitions. And
Hey, it worked.
Yeah, there you go. Oh. It woke us up.
Let's do an exploding Android transition next time, Chad.
That's a good idea, Chad. See, look what
like,
hole
what?
You just dug yourself into.
Flying Androids. Just make that happen, okay?
All right.
You know, like having one Zoom, like I'll have a green one, you have a red one, you have a blue one. I'm just creating scenarios of craziness.
You can't be limited with your creativity.
No. We're just blue skying
some ideas.
Yeah, we'll do it. Sure.
Throw it together.
Okay. I'll just make that happen.
Right.
We are all back, and thank you to Aaron Newcomb. I can't say his name. Aaron Newcomb.
Aaron the Duke Newcomb.
who filled in. Actually, he wasn't supposed to fill in for me. I just couldn't make it last week, so sorry, guys. But I'm happy to be back today.
Welcome back.
And we have a lot to talk about. We were talking about bands. And
not like, bands like Whitesnake,
right?
But bands.
Our pre-show was filled with Whitesnake music.
Sorry.
Now you have it in your head too.
That was my fault.
we're going to be talking about patents. We're going to be talking about the Note DOS. I think that's a bad word in some languages.
DOS.
Some countries. Sorry.
It's fine.
With a gesture. The HTC One X Plus. Is that a bad gesture in another country? And more. I don't know. I'm an American. I have no idea. I don't know what else to say.
That's it. There's nothing
more
to say.
That's it. That's the end of the show.
That's it. All right. Thanks for joining us.
And
we'll see you next time.
The shortest show ever.
Woo!
Actually, we should just let's just dive into our news.
All right. So a 3-month sales ban of the Samsung Galaxy Tab 10.1 was officially lifted. As of, I believe it was last night, sales of the Galaxy Tab 10.1 were originally banned leading up to last month's epic patent battle with Apple. And when the ruling came down, the tablet was not actually found to infringe on the patent that had banned it in the first place initially. Because Samsung had elevated the issue to the higher court, though, Judge Lucy Koh, who oversaw the whole hearing, could do nothing as it was then out of her jurisdiction. So as a result, even though it didn't infringe, it was banned until, of course, the higher court sent it back to her last Friday, giving her the initial final or the final call. And thus, the ban is now lifted. Of course, the question remains, does this really matter? I mean, can you really find the Samsung Galaxy Tab 10.1 in stores? Is it a sales force for Samsung anymore? I think they're going to recoup a very small amount as a result of this, like a couple of million maybe, which
is dropping the bucket compared to the couple
that's not
of
even
billion
a drop,
that they're losing.
The bucket. That's like a breath. It's like, okay.
Well, I mean, have we really, I mean, have you heard people clamoring for the Tab?
Not at this point. They've replaced it with so many other things. You know, they have the Galaxy Tab 2. They have the note.
The
world has moved on.
10.1 note.
You know, and those, by the way, design wise, look nothing like an iPad. You know, so Samsung's kind of already done the things it needs to do to try and avoid this going forward. So it kind of is inconsequential in the grand scheme of things. It just kind of shows you how out of step time wise these things can really be. Like this will not really. This particularly will not affect Samsung hugely.
Exactly. But it's probably. I mean, they got a win somewhere.
A little bit of a win. This is a very small glimmer of victory.
A small battle victory.
A breath of victory.
One of their lawyers is like, "Yeah, but we got that one. We stuck it to him."
Exactly.
All right, Joe.
You get him.
Yeah, let's get a cake. We won.
Do you think they really had a cake?
Yeah, you got to celebrate when you can. You celebrate what you
probably
can.
Probably internal email celebrating.
This did not happen. The ban has been lifted. Yeah. We must go along and continue making innovative products. No, I'm kidding.
Wow, working at Samsung is really depressing. Especially when they read all the emails in that voice.
It's like S voice. Also, on the heels of that, moving on, Samsung has added to a patent suit against Apple, sort of a countersuit. You guys remember that big suit that Apple won? I don't know, was it last month already? 2 months
ago?
Yeah,
it was last month.
Yeah. Lots of gazillions of dollars that Samsung owes. Well, there was a second lawsuit from Apple that kind of details other newer flagship phones to be infringing on different patents, like the Galaxy S3, the Nexus, and, you know, phones that are out there right now that I would say you should get. Samsung has countersued and has added the iPhone 5 to the list of devices of their countersuit. Now, there was a lot of rumors that they were going to sue Apple because of their in-house LTE patents. That is not part of this suit.
No, and this is not a necessarily a countersuit based on the
second suit.
How many times can we say suit?
Based on the
Apple suit that concluded last week. This was actually a suit that Samsung brought against Apple back in, I think, April, potentially, even possibly a little bit earlier than that, which they're essentially taking some of the charges that they brought against the 4 and the 4S
right.
that relate to things like 3G and stuff like that, and applying it now to the iPhone 5, which is interesting because they did threaten, as you say, to come out with a suit related to LTE, and they're not doing that. Instead, they're just kind of broadening this into something they already have going. I don't know if that means that they've reevaluated the LTE plans, and this was kind of, you know, bandied about a little bit beforehand when this started to kind of surface about their plans around LTE to be like, but Apple's had the time and have a significant amount of patents that support their LTE plans potentially as well. So maybe Samsung's realized that and they're going after a different kind of approach.
Right. So those that suit was just submitted to the courts early this morning. And
does that make it breaking?
No, it's not really breaking. Right. It's 5 p.m. Pacific time.
True. Don't dilute the breaking news, Ron.
Fair enough. That's fair.
You know, when it's
really
breaking, we're going to use it. Yeah. Right, Chad? Only when it's breaking.
Right. We can do a really slow breaking if we
want. How about really slow breaking? Can you make that?
Wow.
Really good, Chad.
that just lingered there.
Slow breaking because we're not late. We're reporting the story today.
Sure, yeah.
But it's 5 p.m. and this
all news
is
breaking at some point.
Actually, I saw this late last night, like 11 p.m. But
then
I think
that was
we can even go slower if you wanted.
This is breaking. Slower?
Yeah, here's even slower.
Slow mo news.
There we go. This is really slow breaking news.
Thank you very much. Just one more bit of interesting measurement here was taken by Localytics, a small company that kind of does mobile. They look into the mobile trends, and based on a study that they did recently, they were looking at sales of the Galaxy S3. As it's stacked up to certain times, like during the Samsung Apple verdict and also during the iPhone 5 announcement. And it seems like that if you look at the graph here, Chad, that the device, the Samsung Galaxy S3, actually sold quite a bit more during some, maybe not so worthy news reports to Samsung. Didn't seem to hurt them at all, I guess.
During the verdict. I mean, that's interesting. You know, like, because the thing is...
If you're looking at August 14th to 20th, 8% sales, and then there's a, like, 50% jump during the verdict of 16%.
Yeah. I mean, and that could be... I mean it's got to be related to it just purely being in the news. You know, like,
maybe,
just that
yeah.
brand awareness and that sort of thing. But what's interesting is that it jumping during the iPhone announcement. which that just too. Doesn't
really... Well, maybe those ads had something to do with could it, poking be, yeah, fun. Could, the new Samsung ads poking fun, which I think were
or
really
it could
funny.
Be the kind of thing where any sort of new phone announcement that gathers that much attention, media attention as the iPhone news announcements, make people say, oh, I want a new phone.
You know,
like, and people who are on Android phones at Verizon, then they go in and they upgrade to the latest that they can, and which is Samsung S3. So
yeah, I'd be curious to see this with previous versions of the iPhone around the iPhone launch and the iPhone announcement to see if sales spiked in the same kind of way for those two.
Mm-hmm. I can't imagine because that it would be as much because I feel like the head-to-head is so much greater today in terms of the Galaxy S3 and the iPhone 5. I mean, everyone's comparing those two phones right now.
Yeah, there's maybe more of a direct kind of comparison between the S3 and the iPhone right now than in the past. But yeah, it's kind of an interesting trend to see. You wouldn't necessarily expect it immediately. This could also be made up of people who were kind of waiting to see, okay, does the iPhone 5 have what I need? And if it doesn't, then I know I'm getting the S3.
Yeah. Right.
And so they're waiting for that announcement. The announcement happens. Boom. They make their purchase decision or vice versa. So,
But the verdict does...
The verdict had an effect.
It's Samsung gets beaten to a pulp in that verdict, and people are like, well, I'm going to get that phone anyway.
But did those two increases equal to $2 billion in sales? Probably not. But still, every little bit helps.
Every little bit does help.
Speaking of every little bit helps, one of our favorite things to keep track of as each quarter comes and goes, and it just seems the quarters fly by even a shorter and shorter time, but is the numbers to see what the market penetration for Android is. And we just finished up on Q3. And so Google was very happy to release a breakdown of what versions of Android devices are out there in the wild. So as of October 1st, we've crossed the threshold, the milestone, that over 25% of Android devices are now running Android 4.0 and above. And it's always a tall mountain to climb to get the new versions out there to everyone. So what this means is that 25% of all phones are running Ice Cream Sandwich or higher, which is Android 4.0. Unfortunately, though, for those of you playing at home, only 1.8% of those phones are running Jelly Bean. So the latest version is still lagging behind, but that's typical to what we've seen in the past. Additionally, the biggest version of the operating system that's on phones right now is 55.8% running version 2.3, which was Gingerbread, and all the other various flavors and recipes and desserts, adding up to 16.8% of the other active devices. But that means that one out of every four phones is running very close to the latest and greatest, complete with the new design implements. And
1 year later.
1 year later.
A quarter. I don't know whether to be happy or sad about that.
It just shows you how many are running Gingerbread. Like 55.8% of them are Gingerbread devices.
I think better than
Froyo.
And it keeps becoming more and more apparent. I was thinking about this a little bit ago. And it might be hard for me to verbalize, but as you know, a large number of the ice cream sandwich numbers and now the jelly bean numbers are going to be made up of new devices launching. You know, they're not necessarily all being made up of old devices being revised. And the issue that we're going to continue having here is that there will always be a lot of new devices coming out. Mm-hmm. So those numbers are going to slow down even more as far as updates are concerned, because as we've talked about plenty of times in the past, the OEMs, manufacturers, have no real incentive for updating old devices.
Yep.
So you're going to end up with these device graveyards of Gingerbread in great numbers, because there were a massive amount of Gingerbread phones that were released or that were upgraded to Gingerbread that are never going to go any further than that.
And we're going to see a 2-year cycle based off the contracts with the carriers, and in a year or two from now we're going to be like, "Oh my god, can you believe there are 50% of Android 4.0s out there and they're not running Android 6.0?" It's that cycle will continue.
So I don't know whether it's good news or bad news when you think about it that way, because it's kind of a no-duh thing to think, well, of course, old devices, at a certain point are not going to be updated, but they're going to factor into this number regularly and repeatedly as they're still used. So these numbers will never be much better than this. In fact, they'll probably just continually be worse than this.
Well, I don't know if they'll be worse than that, but it goes back to, we've talked about this before. It goes back to, I don't know if it's Moore's Law or whatever, but my father once told me years ago with computers that there will always be a $500 computer, a $1,000 computer, and a $1,500 computer.
Yeah.
And what each of those do changes every 6 months, and it just slides down. And what was the $1,500 computer in 6 months is going to be the $1,000 computer, and in a year will be the $500 computer. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so those thresholds are always there. So maybe we're looking at – and we would need to go back to look at the previous numbers to see what the market penetration looks like. But maybe we're looking at this kind of situation where maybe 25% is a benchmark for the latest version. Maybe it's less. Maybe they saw a surge that you know, from increased Samsung Galaxy ads and things like that. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But there are different factors that play into it. But I don't think you'll ever get more than a third. You know, I think that's the third is lofty. That means that a third of all the people using it are getting a new phone.
Right.
And I mean, normal people buy one every 2 years or, you know, like they don't upgrade as much as we do. You know?
If only there were a way to break these down, maybe there is, there probably is, break these down into further metrics that that allow you to actually pick apart phones released in the last 2 years. What are those at? Knowing that, you know, a lot of people are on kind of a 2 year cycle with their contracts and with their phone renewal habits and stuff like that. Not everybody. Yep. I'm fending off emails with that because a lot of people want to hold on to their devices for longer. And this is still kind of a disappointment to them. But by and large, these numbers are maybe a little bit more honest to a certain degree as far as a useful metric when you start to look at devices that are maybe still within that newness updatable range. You know, you can't expect a Motorola Droid, you know, that was released years ago to still be updated regularly and buck the trend that you see in these statistics.
Right. Exactly.
So
well, on the other trends or other numbers, the one topic that we always talked about when Android tablets started coming out is that would Android tablets ever be able to penetrate into this market that the iPad has pretty much dominated since the day it came out? Well, according to a new survey by Pew Internet and American Life Project, a research group, they show that Android tablets are now 48% of U.S. adult tablet ownerships in 2012, pushing Apple down to 52%. And a couple of interesting facts here when you look at it, comparing 2011 to 2012, you can see that in 2011, the Apple iPad was 81% of the market, where Android was 15%. And now in 2012, Android represents 48%, with 21% of that being the Amazon Kindle Fire. Mm-hmm. So we wondered what kind of market penetration Amazon has. There you go. It's nearly, you know, almost half of all Android tablets are that Kindle Fire. But what's interesting that I found in this one is that this survey happened before the Nexus 7 came out, and as well as it doesn't include the Nexus 7 or the Samsung Galaxy. So it's, you know, kind of interesting to note that those which we believe are game changers aren't even reflected in this. So could we see a point where tablets in the U.S., Android dominates over the iPad, similar to what we've seen with Android over the iOS?
I totally believe so.
I do too.
Yeah. I believe so. I think you're going to see the same trend. Yeah. It makes perfect sense. It's taken a while, but when you really look at the amount of time that Android phones took to ramp up to the dominant position that it is now and compare it against the tablet space, you know, Android tablets really, as a form factor and an experience that's made around being a tablet, there were Android tablets that weren't necessarily using tablet OS, you know, or tablet optimized OS, but they were a tablet form factor. So it's debatable whether those kind of factor in there. But the amount of time of that ramp up to what we have now, which are actual true competitors from just an experience perspective, let alone form factor, I think it's probably very similar. And absolutely, I think this passes.
I totally agree. Yeah, I think, and once we see, and I'm sorry, that was my mistake. It was the Nexus 7 and the Amazon Kindle Fire HD wasn't included. The Samsung Galaxy tablets represent. Yeah, the Galaxy tablets represented 8% of that market share. So
What's really interesting about this, I think, is I think this about this a little bit more is how big of an influence one single powerful competitor in the Kindle Fire had in just 1 year, going from 15% total market in 2011 to 2012, 48, you know, almost parity with the iPad. And half of that is made up of the one, you know, pretty solid tablet offering.
I mean, if you look at it, Android standpoint. Was 15% in 2011, and in 2012, Kindle Fire represented 21%.
Right, now suddenly we have all these other ones, including a new Kindle Fire,
Well, also, there will be another tablet pretty soon, I'm guessing, from the Apple world. And how is that going to affect the Kindle Fire and all the 7-inch tablets that are out there? Because there is a reason why it's dominant, And now they're probably going to get into that.
So do you really think that the seven inch form factor will be enough, like, is enough of an audience of people who want a 7-inch tablet?
Well, apparently.
I don't agree with that because the Amazon Kindle, the only choice was a 7-inch one. And now that they've got an 8.9, now there's choice. I think that, you know, they'll continue to buy. I think the same thing will happen on the iPad. People will choose to buy either a larger iPad or a smaller iPad. It's not going to be like there's millions of people.
I'm not saying that either. I'm just saying it's going to add to that 52%.
Sure, yeah, it'll add that
52%. It's going to knock that Kindle Fire percentage down. Is my thing.
Time will tell.
I think.
Look at you. Showing your true iOS colors.
There is a dominance in the tablet space, period.
Yeah, there is, but the margin is getting slim.
I don't deny that at all. They do dominate. You know, even just looking at these numbers, there's a perception of dominance on the iPad side of things versus the Android side of things.
You're looking at one device compared to hundreds of devices on the other side.
And that's the same thing that we see on the phone side as well. I'm saying in the next 2 years, you're going to see this, you know, maybe even sooner, but you're going to see that number turn in the same way that it's happened on phones.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see why that wouldn't happen.
It's interesting to see that it's mirroring that, and it makes perfect sense. So.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to an email. This is from Bruce, who is from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, who says he has a question. Verizon is someday going to push out an ICS update for my Motorola Droid Bionic. I have not been able to find out if that will wipe my apps and or data when I update. Verizon rep was not much help either. I am fairly new to Android, but a long-time advanced Windows user. If you have the answer, please advise. Thanks in advance. I love this and a bunch of the other Twitch shows. Thank you, Bruce.
Wouldn't it suck if every time your phone pushed an update to you, all of your information was wiped? No, this won't happen.
No,
you're okay. If it's coming directly from your, directly through your carrier as an over-the-air update, this isn't going to happen unless something messed up.
There might be an app that you use that is not compatible with
ICS. Could happen. Sure.
Like one or two, if that at all. But other than that, and then that developer will probably fix that and have it be available for Ice Cream Sandwich soon after. I know HBO Go was something like, I remember having an issue with that. Now it works on Jelly Bean. Yay. I'm still waiting for Tumblr to work on tablet. I don't know why it works on my phone, but not on the tablet.
Interesting.
So there might be some anomalies like that. But other than that, I think you'll be okay, Bruce. Don't be scared. Hit that update.
Yeah, your data is not going anywhere.
I know. And I just did a check for Droid Bionic ICS, and it says Q4.
Yeah.
Update.
Oh,
they're still waiting. I know. Update
delayed.
I was so
excited when I saw that at CES last year. Not this year, but last year. And boy, that just turned out to be a pile of dookie.
I don't know. Sorry, dude. But it's coming. Hopefully before it'll be a Happy New Year present. or a Merry Christmas present. Or Hanukkah or whatever you...
A present.
Whatever you celebrate.
A no reason present. All right, let's jump into hardware.
Or let's destroy hardware.
All right, well, one of the phones this year that I was impressed by and I recommend to a lot of people was the HTC One X. And our friends over at HTC just announced that it's going to get a little better, so much better that they added a plus to it. The HTC One X Plus was announced, and it's basically essentially the same phone, except that it now comes with Jelly Bean, so it's shipping with Android 4.1.
Whenever it happens to ship.
That is like the best news.
And they've upgraded the processor to a 1.7 gigahertz quad-core NVIDIA Tegra 3 chip. They've doubled the storage to 64 gig.
Bam.
And now, according to HTC, the version of LTE is running is up to 67% faster than the predecessor, which is a pretty good improvement, although we're not sure how they got to that number. On the UI side, it is running HTC Sense, but HTC Sense version 4+, which is
they really like their pluses.
Yeah, they really do like their pluses. They polished up HTC Sense for this, and it actually they're going to find a new self portrait mode that offers facial detection through the front facing camera. So that little piece of functionality now works. A sightseeing mode lets you take snapshots with one click. And the Sense 4 Plus also supports a tap-and-go feature, which allows you to connect your phone to your Beats audio speaker when they're tapped together. So HTC continuing to improve, a very good phone. So I don't think you can go wrong with this one.
I thought the X was fantastic.
Yeah.
And then they also have a follow-up to that. Well, kind of an adjunct to that if you want something a little less powerful.
What, with the HTC One VX?
VX.
Yes, over on AT&T. They've taken the naming convention to a new place. But they've got the HTC One VX that it looks a lot like the HTC One S that they've been seeing out there for a while. And in Europe, it's more kind of similar to the Desire X, for those of you who know about that phone. But it's got a nice unibody design. It's a little more sleeker. You can look at the back. It's got a white kind of design. And they you can't take the battery out of it, so it's got a contained battery. The display's changed, so it's moved up to a 4.5-inch from 4.3 inches in the previous one. And it's the interesting aspect of this phone is the guts of it. It's got a dual core Qualcomm Snapdragon S4 processor. It's got a slightly lower clock speed than the HTC One S, but it's faster and a better performance than the One V. So if you're keeping track of your ones and letters.
Yeah, I know. I'm already confused.
Yeah, it's very confusing. It's got 8 gigabytes of onboard storage and 16 gig of RAM. But they were able to put a micro SD card in it and NFC and a bigger battery in there. So it's got some pluses, some minuses, but it seems to be if you're on AT&T and you're looking for a good HTC phone and you really like Beats Audio, this one is your kind of choice.
And it's ice cream sandwich, Jelly Bean launching or being upgraded to it at some future point, should be.
So if you're an AT&T user, be on the lookout for that as it's coming to America very soon. So.
Yeah. I'm pulling for HTC. I want them to kind of reverse this kind of negative trend that's been happening with them lately. I've always really appreciated some of their hardware, especially in comparison with Samsung. But
I was a big HTC fan back in Windows Mobile. Like when they were doing Windows Mobile phones, and I really liked them, and I love the Nexus One. The Nexus One might have been my favorite of the Nexus of the Google phones,
and that was an
HTC hardware.
Yeah.
But honestly, I just Sense and all the other stuff just turns me off. So that's why I haven't gone back. You know, like if they gave me a stock Android version with HTC hardware, which I could do. I mean, I could root and wipe and ROM and all that.
Yeah, but if they did another Nexus, if Google follows through on the rumors / reports on the multiple Nexuses by year's end, and HTC is one of those, that would be pretty compelling to me.
Tempting. Yeah. Me too. I do like the hardware.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on to my favorite company, Samsung. And apparently there is going to be a huge launch party on October 24th. I love HTC too. Come on. And that's because it's going to be the introduction to the Galaxy Note 2 for the U.S. Now, those of you in international overseas, probably some of you may already have your Note 2.
Definitely.
And in fact, I'm going to see one on Thursday. I can't wait. Ooh. Oh, yeah.
I'm
going to have an international unlocked version of that Galaxy Note. We have a video, Chad, if we could go to about 208. Yeah, I was really impressed to the multi-window. I mean, the 10.1 note that they were, they're talking about multi-window. Here you could see the bar of apps moving, the dock moving around all over the screen, and it's splitting the screen of the note and doing multitasking, and then just kind of with a little swipe of the pen, kind of going from app to app on that wide screen.
The multi-screen, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I think... again, this is a runaway hit. Well, not I want to say runaway hit, but it was a surprise hit. Like 10 million of these Galaxy Notes were sold over the last year since it was announced. And it was surprisingly, and I still see it all over the place.
What I'm fascinated by this animation is that...
the Samsung animation.
Is that all it takes is rotating your phone through the air twice to change apps. That's fascinating. Because every time it goes away and comes back, it's got a different app. No, it is neat. It is neat to see how they're doing the split screen thing.
Because you have enough room to do it.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
Yeah. See, there you go. We change apps. There you go. See, there it is. Yep.
And then
so
later,
you just have to turn into a circle.
Yeah, turn around a circle.
I think we've talked about the specs a lot already, so I won't get into that. I'm sure we'll talk about the phone.
Note fans are super stoked about this device.
They are super stoked. It's going to be faster.
I hope that we get one, and I would love to review it. I hope that we get one here.
Yeah,
and I'm curious to know what you think when you see it.
We got a white.
I think you need to get one and use it for like a month as your primary phone. I would be fascinated to see what that adventure would be like. I think that would be worth
it. Me complaining about the big screens.
Yeah.
Hello. I barely talk on the phone. So
there you go.
That weirdness will rarely happen.
Right. Could you see yourself as a Bluetooth person or?
I'd have to get one. Yeah, I'd have to get a Bluetooth. Okay, maybe. Yeah, maybe I should challenge myself and just use it for a month and
push
see
yourself.
If I like
it. Yeah,
yeah.
You guys can't wait to see me.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
It'll be like, it's kind of like this. Yeah. Like I'm holding the Nexus 7 to my head. So just half the size.
It's awfully close.
Yeah. Hey, what's up, Ron? Okay. Yeah. See you soon. Bye. Would that be weird?
It would be weird.
Anyway.
I'd be cool with it though.
All right. Well, we'll see.
It also has a cool smart rotation.
Yeah, I don't really understand the smart. I read this and I'm kind of like, what does that mean?
Okay, so say you're laying down to read and the phone detects that it's no longer vertical, it's horizontal based on how you're laying or whatever.
Yeah, and
so
it changes
orientation.
Triangulates,
duangulates. I don't know what the word is, but it basically checks through the front facing camera the alignment of your eyes
and
fixes the screen rotation based on where your eyes are.
That's true.
Yeah, that is cool.
So it can kind of lock it in so that you're always looking at it,
yeah,
right?
I did read that you have to activate that.
Yeah,
like it
of
doesn't
course.
Come.
And I do wonder if that's on, that's using the camera all the time. I wonder how much of a battery, hit that is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it must be more than if you weren't using it, but still a cool feature. And then this I read about just right before we started the show. I thought it was really cool. Entertainment Weekly is putting out a magazine,
an
issue of their magazine. And inside of it has an ad that basically has an Android phone embedded into it. Now, it's being used so that viewers of the magazine or readers of the magazine will see Twitter feeds and stuff channeled in.
But through what connection?
I don't know.
Well, there is a SIM card. There's a T-Mobile SIM card in this device. And the folks at Mashable, Lance Ulanoff, who we've had on Tech News Today many times, picked this thing apart and took it apart and found, a full... It's hard to explain, but it's basically the circuit board with all the little touch panels that you would see in like a fully, full QWERTY keyboard style phone. And they started to short circuit some of the buttons and ended up in a total Android interface, essentially. And so they were able to place a call to themselves. All of this based on hardware that is embedded in an issue of Entertainment Weekly.
Right.
Very
it's
cool
October
stuff.
October 5th issue, and it's got Tina Fey on the front looking like
Breakfast that issue.
At Tiffany's. You didn't get the phone?
I didn't look. I haven't read it.
Yeah, only 1,000 issues.
Yeah. Oh, no. I'll check when I get home. Yeah.
Definitely check it. If you go to
the video, I'm curious to see what it looks like.
Oh, I have
here we go.
Yeah,
so
go
you're
to
watching
one,
the video.
Go to 110. Yeah, well, there it is. There's the screen. It's part of the CW layout.
You know what? I wonder. I got to go home and check now.
Do you remember it felt bulky or something?
No, because a whole bunch of the pages were out of order later in the issue.
Oh, really?
Oh, I wonder.
I don't know why they're flipping through the rest.
Yeah, yeah.
But...
No, go back to the phone. Go
go to 110, Chad.
Oh, no, they got
it.
They're finding the middle of the magazine, taking it apart. Well, look at the CW.
Yeah, if you scan to 925. This is the device taken out of the magazine. And so it's showing the interface that you would see, right? If you skip forward to 9 minutes 25 seconds.
How long does that battery last?
That's a good question. Skip forward. There we go. So now they're starting to kind of get into the UI. And in a few seconds, Lance stumbles upon. He does the right thing. And let's see here. Oh, it's after this. It's going to be probably another 5 or 10 seconds. But he ends up, there we go, ends up going to a pretty familiar interface, don't you think?
Jeez.
So it's totally Android running underneath.
Ron, you got to bring that in.
I got to go home and check
it.
Yeah, I didn't even. Yeah.
Developed at Foxconn. They develop a lot of things.
You heard of them, right?
Yeah.
Just kind of cool stuff that this would be hiding in the pages of a magazine that you are likely
to get. Honestly, it shows the versatility of Android.
Sure.
Is that they can use it to embed, advertising. That's pretty cool. That's
kind of bulky for what it's not bulky for what it's doing, I guess.
I'm surprised they left
kind
the
of bulky
keys.
That they would do this in a magazine and have that kind of bulk in it.
Yeah, I'm surprised that they left the keypad in it. I mean, it's essentially you just put a plastic thing around it. You have a phone.
Yeah, like I have to wonder, and there's a camera on the back.
It's
like,
somebody should make that into a phone.
Yeah.
Somebody
should
just use it and,
Why wouldn't
they
just
call?
Why wouldn't
they
just
make a call?
Do they really?
Yes, they do.
Why would they just strip it down?
They put a SIM card in there?
There's a T-Mobile SIM card.
Oh, the T-Mobile SIM, you're right.
Yeah, that's how it's getting all of its updates and everything.
That's so
weird.
It's
crazy. I don't know how much the magazine is, but yeah, still is it very cool stuff.
Is it more expensive if you have the phone?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I can't believe there's only 1,000.
I'll check when I get home.
I wonder
what
their subscriber base is. God, I used to subscribe. Now I'm sad I'm not.
Oh, I love it. I'll never not subscribe.
There's a live USB port that'll accept a mini USB cable.
That's cool.
Kind of crazy.
Good job,
like you wonder if maybe they just had a large inventory of something left over, and Entertainment Weekly just bought a bunch of this and
that's awesome.
Looped it in. It's kind of a cool marketing.
It's really,
play.
Really cool.
Yep. Just real quick, I did a review of this device right here. It's the Samsung Galaxy S Relay 4G. Yet another fun, long name.
What'd you
with
think?
A slide-out QWERTY keyboard. It's on T-Mobile. Actually, right now, Best Buy has this going discounted for $99.99 if you're into the slide-out QWERTY keyboard and T-Mobile. It's pretty good. I think if you want the slide-out QWERTY keyboard, this is probably one of the better ones on T-Mobile, though the slide-out keyboard isn't necessarily perfect. They're pretty flat keys, so it's pretty easy to bump other keys, but overall the sliding mechanism is nice. If you're just looking for a regular phone, you're probably gonna just pay a little bit more and get the S3. This has the same underpinnings or the same processor as the S3, less RAM though, so it's actually a pretty powerful device. But you should check out the review on Before You Buy, or you can find it on YouTube at youtube.com/twit. That is it. We got an email.
We do have an email. This email comes from Tom in Hastings, Michigan, and says, "Hey, AAA crew, I've been loving the 25-cent sale on the Google Play Store, and I downloaded Rayman Jungle Run, which I wouldn't have purchased otherwise. I'm sure you've already heard about it, but if not, it's crazy addicting. Take a look. Love the show. Your show is the one podcast I make sure to listen to every week. Thanks."
Yeah.
Thank you, Tom.
I wanted to install it. I think it's...
it's back up to $2.99 now.
I love Rayman.
So,
but, I mean... Everybody was abuzz about this game over the weekend.
Well,
many posts about
this game.
This game
is great. And to kind of explain the price tag, Google Play Store reached 25 billion downloads. And so to celebrate that, there was a ton of discounting down to 25 cents. In fact, I was able to get Runtastic Pro for 25 cents. A lot of you listeners out there alerted me to the fact over Twitter, and I picked it up for 25 cents as well because it was one of the apps that was part of the celebration.
Yes,
so that
was
Google kind of celebrating them, patting themselves on the back to 25 billion app installs, is kind of crazy.
Used up my credit.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I bought Nova Launcher, finally. I bought a lot. Tasks.
Yep. Tasks. Yep. Yay.
I love Tasks. Yeah.
I haven't
used it yet. But I just bought a bunch of stuff that I knew that was normally $2 or $3.
Oh, yeah, there was a lot of really good stuff on there.
And there was some games I thought, I want to pull the trigger, but then I knew I'd never play. But I missed out on Rayman. I don't know what day that was.
I'm wondering because I never saw it, and I checked every day. But, we'll get to an email in a little bit. I didn't see that one either, and that's because my device didn't support it. When I went online, I saw it.
Yeah, that could be
why. But it's hidden from you on your device if it doesn't support it. Yeah. So that could be why.
Could you have bought it online and just put it on an older review unit?
Yes, that's how I did it on the next email that we'll get to in a little bit.
All right.
Cool.
So let's move on to apps.
Yeah, Fat Pumpkin in the chat room says Office Suite Pro was a huge savings. It's like,
oh, I bought that one too.
That was 25 cents, and it's normally what, like $14 or something like that.
I did get that one. I think I bought that one on the Kindle Fire a long time ago too, because they had it for free originally in their first store. But then you know how it is with the updates of Amazon; it's better to buy it from the Google Play Store.
Absolutely.
Oh, Paper Camera! Finally bought that. Even though I had a Get Jar version of that a long time ago, I wanted.
We're consolidating all of our apps from all these other stores and bringing it back into play.
Other stores, and I got it. And now I'm buying it legit. Not that the other stores are legit, but hey, it's time for AAA.
Hey, what do you know?
And it plays the song.
I didn't know that. That's great. So it works.
I was just checking to see if it was time for all that.
I'm
Android.
Glad it's time.
Yeah.
Thank you for pulling that up. I had no idea what I was doing here.
Thank God. All right. So Google released a little app last week called Field Trip. And,
yeah, what's this all about? I was hearing a little bit about this, but I didn't get to play with
it. Well, what's interesting is that, you know, I commute every day into San Francisco, and I also went to Los Angeles last week. So I went and downloaded it. I thought, okay, well, what is this? So essentially what it does is it pings you and shows you unique things based on your location. You know, and essentially it's free. So once you download and you get a notification, it'll look something like this on your phone. This is optimized for phones, not tablets, by the way. So Chad, if you look at my screen, this is what a notification will look like. And you can opt to have, and I'll show you in a minute, medium-sized notifications. You know, you can go all out and have tons of notifications. So here I'm very close to Della Fattoria, which is a great cafe nearby. And so one of the content aggregators is Zagat.
Right,
and
because so Google bought
Zagat. Yeah, that's true.
Finally, so, we see why they bought them using it.
Here, you'll see this kind of pop up on your notification, and then I can just say, yay, keep giving me notifications like this. I could just kind of scroll to get more information. I could share, or I could thumbs down. What does that binocular thing do? Okay. So that binocular thing here is showing me the mode and the amount of notifications do I want.
Gotcha.
I put it in the middle. So this is occasional notifications, which it is pretty occasional. And then Explore will be like notification after notification after notification based on how many aggregators have put information on Field Trip, right? And then you can also have it disabled. And then I think this goes to the map. Yeah, that goes to the map. I tap the right-hand corner of the notification, and there you go to the map, and you can see exactly where it's located. Do you see where you are? Let's see if I tap. Oh, maybe not. Oh, it goes into navigation, so I can just turn on navigation at that point. Haven't used it too extensively. Essentially, what I've done is just used it to see what would pop up on my notifications. So when you launch Field Trip, you decide what you, again, how often you want these notifications. And then when you launch it, you'll see what's nearby. And so I have a list here of what's nearby. Oh, movie location is nearby. Peggy Sue Got Married.
Ooh, I love that
I didn't
movie.
Know that.
So yeah. Oh, really?
Some trivia.
Oh, yeah. Petaluma is filled with movies. Peggy Sue Got Married.
No way, really?
That Ron Howard film.
See, this is good information to know. I like to know
American
this kind
Graffiti.
Of thing.
Oh, really?
Flubber.
Flubber was
Flubber. American Graffiti was shot in?
No.
Yep. I thought it was in Modesto.
It was, well, part of it was.
It was inspired by Modesto. Oh, that's interesting.
It was
okay, so as I scroll, there's American Graffiti. There's some movie location at 599 feet from where I am right now.
So basically wherever you are, when you're somewhere near an interesting thing, it will come up with a notification and say, hey, you're nearby this interesting thing.
Exactly.
So you can discover new things about where you are.
Exactly.
Okay.
And it's really handy if you're traveling, if you don't know where you are. So I was here in the nearby section, and then I swiped to the right to see the map, and you can see there's lots of locations here that have colored tabs, and that depends on if it's a restaurant or a movie location or like an architecture or something like that. And then if I go to the right, you'll see everything that recently popped up for me. So there's Della Fattoria. That was very recently when I was in San Francisco, Embarcadero buildings. I did look at most of this stuff too. If I scroll, let's see, in Los Angeles and when I was there, Face Off? Really? Oh, Speed, because I was by the LAX airport, and that's where Speed took place.
Oh, wow.
Movie location. So I just think it was interesting to have turned on. I will say I was a little annoyed because I do use my phone to listen to music with my headphones, or I attach it to my car.
It was popping up throughout.
And it was popping up and stopping my joyride frequently, and that was a little annoying, especially when I was like at part of a song. Would like to tell you about the Lower Market Street afternoon. What? Shut up! And also, you can do voice notifications. So what I have enabled is for her to tell me and to read just the title of the Field Trip notification. So she'll read Lower Market Street after the fire of 1906. But she can also, if you want it, have her read the entire thing, which I've turned that off.
I could imagine that if you're driving cross country and you're not listening to music and you're and you've turned the level of notification on field trip to be super high, that's the kind of thing that you'd want. You'd want to say you're exploring, you're discovering.
Yeah, you can turn off the speak to. I just didn't.
If you're joyriding, you turn off the speak to, and then just
nobody joyrides.
Yeah, Ron. Nobody does. Really? Am I the only one that joyrides?
Okay. You know what they need to do with this app? What? They need to allow the community to create tours.
Yeah. Because
it really reminds me of a tour app,
That was what Gowalla did before they got acquired. It was like Gowalla was basically Foursquare, but then they added in tours or lists and things like that that you could – you go to some place and you do like a walking coffee lover's tour and you walk through a city. Yeah. So really quickly,
you could see the selection of content aggregators based on interest. What they do is they basically click everything as a yes. I want like Blueprint Chicago. I'm in architecture now. Architizer, San Francisco Architectural Heritage. They just automatically check everything and you have to go in there and uncheck if you don't want information on there. Sunset Magazine. I mean, everything they give you from the start. And so these are all the offers and deals. Google, I guess I haven't seen any offers yet as I've walked by places in San Francisco. I would like an offer to pop up. That would be very cool. But apparently maybe that might happen at some point. Who knows? Maybe I need to turn in that notification on a lot more.
Yeah.
I did the top in order to do that. I like the food and drinks. So besides Zagat, there's Forkful, Food Network, Eater. I didn't check the. Oh, I don't want to check Zagat.
Don't deselect.
I'm not gonna select Minneapolis because I don't live there. But so I assume that this content aggregator section will be. There will be more eventually. So anyway, give it a try. You know, you don't have to. The notifications you can turn off as well. You know, maybe you want to just. You know, pop up the app whenever you want. If you're standing somewhere, and it probably would have saved all of these pieces of information or these, you know, cool pieces of information while you've been walking around or joyriding. But I turned mine on because I wanted to see the experience. I wanted to see how crazy, you know, the notifications were.
I like that.
And whatnot.
Particularly for visiting a city that you've never been, if you're visiting as a tourist in particular.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because then you're kind of wanting this kind of guided information.
Yeah, I found out about some vegan stuff in
LA.
I
find Yelp for this kind of stuff irritating. Because you never really find, unless you're looking for something specific, but just to know general surroundings is just kind of, it's messy and
I do the same thing on the food side. Like I try to use food spotting a lot or Foursquare for like to find like I'm in a strange city or I don't know, but like let's find something good to eat. I just find myself looking through other people's pictures that
Me
I don't
too.
Know. Yeah. So
the thumbs up and thumbs down should essentially tailor your experience as you use it more. At least I hope so. But
I like the design of it. It looks really nice.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. So cool. Well, another hotly anticipated release finally came out, and that we saw the latest entry from Rovio, the game developers behind Angry Birds, which was a bit of a hit. I mean, it was kind of a quiet release. Not a lot of people noticed Angry Birds, but...
That really flew under the radar.
But Bad Piggies now is the latest from Rovio, and a lot of people are raving about it. We got to play with it a little, and I could show it to you here.
Yes, please.
They have a Bad Piggies version, and I downloaded the HD version for my tablet. So that was, I assume, is a higher resolution and HD version. But so this game is all built around the pigs that the birds were messing with in Angry Birds, and continues the same kind of model as Angry Birds in terms of solving some sort of physics problem, but with different different tools. So as opposed to launching and destroying things with the birds, you're building little transportation contraptions for the pigs to ride and eventually win with. And so what's neat, so what you want to do is you want to cross this finish line and get the little piece of the map. And in this one, actually, this one I'm going to go back to because I haven't solved this one yet.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're jumping right into
something. Jumping right in. Let's
right into a hard one. Let's
I start off a little earlier. But basically what you've got is you've got this road that has a lot of curves and loops and stuff like that. And you can, down here, these are the different tools that you have. So, for example, I've got a wheel. So I can put this wheel here.
You only have so many of them.
It shows you how many you have. I've got these little boxes. So I can basically build a contraption. Right. So I've got that. So there's my main kind of thing. And then I can add this fan for a little propulsion. And then where do I want to put the pig? I'm going to put the pig right in front. He's going to ride.
Yeah, top heavy.
Yeah, it looks
or
good.
Front heavy.
So now he just sits there, but if I press the button, I can turn on the fan and give him a little juice.
Come on,
get
man.
Him moving,
Come
get on, him dude. Moving, get him moving. There he goes, there he goes. Get some momentum.
Oh, dude. And
there we go. And so, as you saw, I kind of got that star. I got to the finish line. Yeah, I did better this time around. Now, starting off, it was pretty fun. It was pretty neat. But there was one level that just blew my mind that was awesome. And I want to show you that. And I believe it's this one.
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
What's happening?
Right. It looks crazy. And then, oh, that gave it away. And then I had four different types of wheels in a box. And I was like, what do I do with this? And then I kind of realized, I'm like, wait a minute. I don't need to think linearly. I can think more kind of, creatively. And if I do this, all right, watch what happens here.
Oh, yeah. Oh!
Nice.
Right?
Look at so. You. Three stars. Come on.
No, one.
One?
I didn't get the star. There's a star somewhere hidden in there. So
failed, right?
Yeah, I know. Failed. But whatever. I was proud of myself that I figured out that four wheel thing. That was pretty cool. But yeah, so Bad Piggies from Rovio. It's currently free right now in the Google Play Marketplace. I imagine I'm going to spend lots of time playing it on conference calls. So I don't do that during work. But it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes, he did.
So check it out. I give it my thumbs up already. So it's already just before the show started, I blew through like 10 levels. So
yeah, you did.
Yeah. So
cool.
Nice.
Bad Piggies.
This episode is full of apps and games. I love it.
Yeah.
Mine is just a real quick mention. Chrome for Android is an update has arrived that allows it to work with Intel x86 processors. This was a big deal a few weeks ago when the Motorola Razr i was announced running the Intel processor, and Chrome didn't work on it. So it didn't come pre-installed, didn't work on it because it wasn't working with the Intel processor. Now it does. So that long national nightmare is over.
A long national nightmare.
Yeah, that was a long 2 weeks, and all I did was think about that. Phew, I can sleep tonight. All right, let's take an email. Marlon, the guy from Trinidad, a longtime fan and emailer, wrote in with a topic that he really wishes we would discuss tonight, which we are, and it's about one-star reviews. Says, as you know, the 25-cent sale just finished. On the last day, they offered the fantastic game, Horn. Get it? Trust me, it is awesome. This is the game that I tried to get, but it didn't appear, so I had to go to the web to find it.
This is actually a really good game. I didn't know this is one of the 25
centers. And it's $7 normally.
$6.99.
Darn it. And they played this at I.O.
Yeah.
This was one of the kind
of demo of it.
It was the main demo video that everyone was going, ooh, ah.
Dang it.
It was very impressive. The sales spiked, of course, and he says, so did the complaints, as the game is optimized for Tegra 2, like my Acer Iconia A500 and Tegra 3 devices. It's not playing nice with others. Some of these, I believe, are people running ROMs or bugs that will get fixed. To be fair, the game had about a 3.7 review because of some of these bugs and the, in my mind, unobtrusive in-app purchases, which you don't need to do. Mm-hmm. So my question, is the one-star review fair to developers who have a great game but are trying to support as many devices as possible? Or is it okay to voice your opinion with this tactic? I would love to hear your view, and I would advise you to pick up the game, which I did. I haven't played it yet because I just haven't had time. But I will. I can't wait to. It looks really cool. What do you think? This just kind of got me thinking, like, what are you going to do to stop one-star reviews? It's just kind of going to happen.
You can't. I mean, that's the problem, the inherent – that's the – the yin to the yang of the greatness of online communities is that you give people a voice, you give them a soapbox, you give them an opportunity to share their opinion, and inevitably you're going to get people who, if they mobilize or if they utilize it, they could tank something with one-star reviews and with negative reviews and that sort of thing, and there's just nothing you can do about it. The only thing you can do is not have a star rating system.
Yeah. I think it doesn't really represent the game is the thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's. I don't think it's fair to the developer. Because maybe it is only optimized for whatever.
Those devices.
Yeah,
those devices. And it should not, I mean, it's about the game, not about the device.
Right.
So,
sure.
I personally don't think it's fair, but I can understand why people are frustrated, but it does suck that, you know, but yeah. It is, you can say what you want on these reviews.
Right.
Like
I mean, the best thing is that if you disagree with it, go write a review and leave a rating because that will help the case.
Oh, but, yeah. These 1,216 one-star reviews.
Yeah, it's heavily one-star. Kappen in the chat room brings up a really good point. Developers can now exclude devices and should do
they
so.
Should, yeah.
So
they
maybe
should.
They're not doing that properly with Horn. If there are certain devices that are extremely problematic, and I would imagine by the amount of one-star reviews that would be the case here. Another thing that I think needs to be at least considered going forward with this store is some way to incentivize people to revisit their rating.
Yep.
It's really hard when you, like, I don't even know what apps I've rated, to be honest. And I've installed a lot of them and I've rated a lot of them, but I don't rate all of them. And it's impossible for me to remember when an app, you know, gets updated and it's suddenly running great or whatever the case may be, to go back and, you know, find out if I gave it a bad rating and change that rating. I don't know how you do this without being obtrusive or in your face, because people wouldn't like that either. But, I mean, that's the other side of this, is people give a rating within, like, the first 2 minutes of installing an app. So they're very quick to do it. And a lot of times, you know, that's going to be a bad review because they opened it up, didn't like it immediately, gave it a one-star review, and never think about it again. There's no reason for them to go back and reconsider.
I mean, I don't know how the ratings influence your purchasing decisions, but for me, it's like maybe the fourth or fifth thing I'll look at. Mm-hmm. Like generally, what I look at is I look at the look of the art on the page to see if whether they're legit or amateur. I look at the screenshots for the same thing. I look to see how many downloads it's gotten.
Yeah.
Because if something's got critical mass or a lot of traction, then it's probably doing pretty good. And then I look at the reviews and the ratings, you know, and I don't really take – it's like with Amazon. I mean, like there are people out there who have tanked books on Amazon because they didn't like the author for some reason, something like that, and they mobilized and they all gave it a one-star review and that sort of thing. And it's – I don't know. For me, it's a little bit of color, but it doesn't drive my decision. But that's just me. I mean, maybe some people only download five-star apps. I don't know. So
Yeah. It's an interesting question. I mean, there isn't a whole lot you can do to stop people from voting the way they feel because, well, you're asking them to vote and you're giving them the mechanics to do so.
I mean, the only thing you can do is you are empowered to leave your own rating and leave your own review.
And counterbalance it if you feel strongly on the other side.
I mean, look at that app. I mean, that app has over 2,400 ratings and how many downloads? Like, how, what was the total download count on that?
Between
50,000 and 100,000.
Let's go on the low end of 50,000 people who downloaded. 2,400 left reviews, and of those 2,400, 1,200 left one star reviews.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's, I mean, we're talking Nielsen here. That's not and all those people who downloaded didn't write a review. You don't think it's fair? Write a review. You let your voice be heard. So, yeah. I never write reviews personally. But
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, I don't write reviews either.
Yeah. See, I read the reviews.
I read the reviews. I don't write them.
Oh, you don't write them.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I write them.
I write them if something really impresses me.
Yeah.
Then I'll feel like, okay, I'm going to write a little bit of something on here.
You can
but
just
I
star
don't.
And not write, right?
Yeah.
I do that. Yeah. I star a lot.
I don't star either.
I'll star you if I like you.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's bring forth more apps in the arena.
Two enter, one lives. Android Arena.
Every week, I'm surprised by the results.
Yeah. Well,
every
this
week,
one.
Are you?
Every week.
What happened last week? I didn't watch
last,
the arena
section. So last
section.
Week you weren't here. And admittedly, I threw up an app that I love, that I use, but is very, very simple and is I said there was no way I was going to win this one. And then Aaron had a great game. And then Jason came it wasn't a bad app. I mean, it was a cool app. I mean, I liked it.
It was good. Tight.
And it was not only was it tight, but Jason ended up the winner.
Well, and I'm what surprised me about that is I was so not winning at all when we finished the segment. It was very quick.
I didn't want
to
say
you
that.
And Aaron were kind of racing to the top. And then when I opened this, I think a couple of days ago, I opened it just to check in on it. I was like, whoa, what happened? Like, maybe I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
But so Cool Tool eked out a very narrow victory.
By five votes.
Yeah. Well,
pretty much. That's Aaron's. What was
Cool Tool? Cool Tool was mine.
Oh, you 36%. Okay, sorry.
Ron's.
Who are you rooting for?
Yours got
you did a little dance.
I root for us.
Good to know.
Except when I'm here.
Ron's app got second with 35% of the votes for LED Scroller Ultimate, and Aaron Duke Nukem got third with 29% of Bit Trip Beat.
It's a cool game. Yeah. But it's just, I just find it interesting to see that how we kind of gauge, what I do is I gauge the success of it by the chat room here in the live audience. And then
they,
we come back every week.
Know where it's,
but the the downloading audience who come back like later in the week, they clearly have a different agenda than you guys in the chat room. So there you go. Yeah. We're in a tech case. I was winning this morning. And so Jason had a, which makes me, which begs the question, tech case, how often are you looking at this poll? Like, you've got to have something else to do. But
no, he's hooking us up.
He's got a little window. He's got a little window.
Yeah, he's got a regular updating tally.
But
he's charged. Love it.
But yeah, no, it's just fascinating. So
yeah, it is interesting to see how these play out. But it was a very close, all things considered, it was a very close arena, and I love it when it's close like that, because that means all apps were great. So
Tech Ace One knows I'm a big fan of his, so I'm just busting chops.
Thank you for being so
dedicated.
Technicated is what I almost accidentally said, but maybe I should have been intentional with that. All right, so Ron, that means, well, you wouldn't go first if Aaron was here. Aaron would go first, but since he's not here, it's up to you first.
Okay, I'll lead off. I'll lead off.
Although I figured I would go first.
I was going to say, yeah, I figured Eileen would go first.
Because I haven't been here.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. Say, you want to go first?
I'm not ready.
All right,
it sounds like you're rooting to go first.
We'll let you get into the mode.
All right.
So it's no surprise that amongst my many little quirks and interests, I enjoy food. Food and drink are both some of my favorite things. And I've previously talked about food spotting, the cocktail app that I showed a while back.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and I stumbled upon a new app that I'm feeling pretty good about.
Right.
And it's called Goji Food and Drink Recipes by Goji Incorporated. And basically what this is that there are tons of recipes online that are out
those
there.
Those look delicious.
Don't they? For both both food recipes and drink recipes. And I'm constantly searching for, I want to cook something, I want to make something, I don't know what to make and that sort of thing. And this app made me laugh because literally something the other day when I was trying to make dinner, I got home. For those who don't know, I've been working my butt off. I've been working on a project that just recently wrapped and haven't had a lot of time to go shopping, haven't a lot of time to get a lot of food in the house. And I was like, you know, I'm really hungry. I know I've got bacon in the fridge. What can I make? Wait, I got bacon and I got chicken and I got pasta. What can I make? And so I'm on and I'm looking for different recipes, stuff like that. Goji would have made it so much simpler. So here, I'll show you why. So if you install the app, and I've done it here on my tablet, it works on a phone or a tablet, so there's no real difference. But once you launch the app, it basically just asks you to choose from food or drink. And so I'm going to go for food. And I need to log in. So there we go. So let's just cut away from me. It uses both Facebook and Google authentication. So if you have a Facebook, if you don't mind Facebook Connect, or if you don't mind Google accounts for your identity. But you can also register just via your email, which I did earlier today. And I logged out of the app. And so now I need to do it again. So that's my bad. Wonderful TV, isn't it? So once you log in, here we go. I'm all logged in. And what it does is it serves up something randomly, whether you chose food or drink. And in this case, it served up a chocolate mousse tart with rum caramel sauce. And if you swipe up, it tells you that it says, you know, here's the title of the app. You can favorite it. It tells you what ingredients it involves, rum. And it also needs vanilla extract, butter, brown sugar, cashews, etc. It doesn't give you the recipe. Rather, there's a button to hit recipe. And what it will do is it will go out in this little mini browser of it of theirs, and it will pull up the recipe from wherever it's coming from. So Goji isn't really keeping a library of recipes. Rather, it's more of an aggregate of other sites out there. So it's doing searches online for you in a much more interesting and visually appealing way.
So it's listing ingredients, is not telling you how to put it all together.
No, it's just saying that this is what
pointing
you
to the place that the recipe.
So
came from.
Now,
that's
in
cool.
My particular case, you know, you can up here on the bar where it says I crave. So if you're craving, let's say I was craving, it gives you some choices. There's beef, pork, chicken, seafood, etc. And you could just do as simple as lunch, dinner, dessert. But I'm going to do bacon because I knew I had bacon in the house. So I'm going to hit bacon. And what it's going to do is it's going to just, based off that, it's going to serve me up something. So here's a composed salad with lemon yogurt dressing. And I don't really want a salad, so I'm going to swipe to the left.
Ooh, what is that? Short ribs?
Lamb shanks braised with tomatoes and herbs. Oh, look at that. And it's just utilizing some of the great.
What's that?
pea, broccoli, and sprout salad with crispy bacon and feta.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, and so it's using some of the great food photography that's on the web to really show you how good this food can be, and then it takes you right to the recipe so you can go and make it yourself, which is great. Now, it basically does the same thing for on the drink side. So what you do is you just go up here to the little menu bar, and here you can track all of your favorites or your have or dislikes, and you can switch over to drinks, and it does the exact same thing for cocktails and drinks. So instead of craving baking, I can say, I'm looking for a good gin drink. Here it served up a ginger and lime Ricky, but I'm going to look for something with some gin in it. And what's neat is that once you type in gin, it will give you dry gin, Irish gin, slow gin, ginger ale, ginger beer, any sort of type of combination that it might be. I'm just going to go for it. And it's going to search out there, and it's going to find me a salty dog. Or a spiked lime, cilantro, and wasabi granita. Right? So, so it's just a fun visual way to search for food and drink based off of simple ingredients. You can also, if you wanted to, you can also simply browse as opposed to typing in something. So when you go into the I Crave menu, instead of saying, oh, I don't know what I crave, I can just go to, listen, I'm looking for dinners. And it will just search for dinner, and it will serve up recipes that way. So here we have a Korean beef rice bowl.
That looks good. Oh, I'm so hungry right now.
Orange glazed lamb chops.
I am very hungry right now.
So
I want to eat all of this.
Yep. So
that is really cool.
Yeah. So Goji food and drink recipes. It's free. Really visual. Really neat. They got the design down really nice. It's a pretty, pretty Android app, and I know I'm going to use it tonight when I decide what to make for dinner. So.
Awesome. And so they're aggregating on their end all of the keywords that are associated with each recipe?
Yeah. So what they're doing is they're scraping based off of keywords.
Okay.
And then they're searching against however they're searching against the web.
Right.
And then when your search results come up, they say, okay, you search for bacon, but this recipe includes these other ingredients, no other instructions. You tap recipe, and it takes you to a browser, and it shows you the
site.
That's
a really cool approach.
Smart. Man, yeah, smart.
So, smart, for sure.
Nice. I love it. Yep. So Goji.
All right, cool. Eileen, you're up next.
I am up next. Okay, so my app, I actually believe that we saw them as one of the new sort of startup mobile app makers at Android Open last year.
Last year?
Yeah, okay. And I believe I voted for this app because I thought what they wanted to do was pretty amazing. I got to help judge this sort of startup app.
Oh, right.
Content.
Okay, I remember that.
Do you remember that?
Okay,
so yes, Brady Forrest, who's actually on the show next week, spoiler,
yep.
he asked me to help judge, and we went around in different booths and checked out all the different app developers and what their new project or what their app was. And the app that I voted for was called Open Garden. I believe it was called that at the time. I don't think they changed their name. It is in beta now.
It was called that. I totally remember now.
Do you remember now?
Yes. Yes.
So Open Garden is free in the Android marketplace right now, and it requires Bluetooth and or two Wi-Fi direct capable devices. And essentially what I'm going to tell you is what they want you to do. Basically, Open Garden creates a mesh network, ties in all the Open Garden enabled devices together, and shares that internet access and bandwidth between all of the devices.
Cool.
So, and I tried it out last night and it works.
Did it work?
Oh, yeah, it
no,
did.
Really?
It's a little slow, but I think if you have more people on the network, it'll get faster. Basically, what Open Garden wants to do is crowdsource the platform for mobile connectivity. So you could download a desktop version for Mac and Windows right now, and then it's available on your, again, as a free app. So essentially what I do here, Chad, I'm going to launch the app. What's going on? There we go. And then it says here, an app wants to turn on Bluetooth. Allow, yes. I guess I didn't have it allowed. So what I'm going to do is connect, and you could see here how much bytes you've transferred too. So if you're worried about your data, it'll tell you how much is transferring as you're connecting to your device. And then all you do is hit connect, And then you search another device, say your Nexus 7, that may have the app. And I go to Open Garden. Yes. Make sure Bluetooth is allowed. And you hit connect. It's more impressive, too. They say, you know, keep everything on. You want to grab from Wi-Fi. You want to grab from your mobile. You want to grab from everything. But you could see it now. If you're watching the video, you could see now it's turned on. So the Nexus 7, the Galaxy Nexus, they're all sharing. If I turn off Wi-Fi, I can still use, because I'm using the data from this phone, to use the device.
Wow.
You know, to use internet, which is great. So here you can see the bytes transferred from this device, which is 4.698. I didn't have that on as much to test versus my phone, which is at 15.330 megs. And then if you want, I can turn on my computer. Let's see if that pops up as well. Takes a while sometimes.
So you need to have the apps on the device.
Yes, you do.
So like if I was at a conference and me and my team and we wanted to share the internet, we'd have to install this all on our laptops and our phones and devices, but then we could combine and create that mesh network.
That's correct. So my phone at this point shows my MacBook Air is connected and the Nexus 7, the Galaxy Nexus. I'm not sure why it's not showing on my Nexus 7 because we're all on the same network right now. But it's not super duper fast, but, you know, in a pinch. Oh, also, this does not require root. Hello. I do know that some Verizon users have had some issues because if you already have tethering, I mean, maybe you don't need this already, right? But some Verizon users have been blocked from using this and then, you know, have, I guess Verizon told them, well, we need $20.
Right, yeah.
You know, to activate that. So I don't have tethering on my phone. So, again, like on a pinch, this is pretty cool, especially when you're at a hotel or what. It's basically your own brand of tethering, a different way. And what the company wants to do is everybody, you know, kind of share their connectivity together, which I think is great. And apparently, you know, the big question that I had for the company when they were at Android Open last year was, you know, well, what does the carriers think? And he's like, oh, we're not worried about the carriers. They're going to want this to happen. I'm like, are they? So they do plan to keep the app free. And they say that the mesh network, once you're on, is encrypted. And try it out. Let me know what you think. And, you know, again, it's not super duper fast, but it's still kind of cool.
It's cool in a pinch. I mean, I gotta tell you, I mean, I have, because T-Mobile, I have unlimited data, and I can make a hotspot, and it's saved my butt so many times.
Yeah.
And it's been in situations where I need to get online, I need to do something for work, I need to send an email, I need to do something for my laptop. Mm-hmm. So being able to do that and extend it to other people that you might be with, that's pretty cool. You know, I mean, I can't imagine you're BitTorrenting or downloading large files or anything like that.
I'm not going to be streaming Netflix.
Yeah,
but
checking email.
Checking email. Yeah, actually, I tried to run video on my laptop using this, and it was a little slow. I mean, it eventually did it, but it was slow, and so I know it was taking up a lot of bandwidth. So yeah, checking email, Twitter, whatever, super simple stuff. This might be for you. So try it out. Let me know what you think.
Cool.
That's Open Garden from Open Garden, free in the Android or in Google Play.
Very good.
Cool.
Good,
that is really good. It seems to walk that weird line between tether and not. Like as you were talking about it, I was trying to figure out, like, how is this not tether or is it? Yeah. It's just
mesh.
Tether, but
it's
other
mesh.
Things.
Yeah,
yeah, it's it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to compute. It does not compute, but it's very cool.
I know. I had to read this over and over again. I was like, okay, the mesh network. Got it. I think I know what they're doing here.
Yeah.
I just wonder if the carriers are just going to kibosh it at some point. We'll see.
We'll see. But you know that there's wireless tethering happening, you know, via apps that tethers aren't putting the kibosh on. Okay, so that's awesome. Open Garden, Ron, you had Goji. I went with actually an email that was sent in from a fan. And when I first saw this, I was like, oh, that sounds kind of nifty. And it's a kind of a simple, straightforward style approach.
But I've had it installed the past week, and I've actually loved it a lot. It's very, very cool. Eric Hubert wrote in to say, I love AAA, watch it every week. Thanks for doing a great job. I'm contacting you as an independent developer trying to advertise my Android app recently published after a few weeks in beta. It's called Better Than Expected Wallpapers. Nice. And, okay, so it's a wallpaper app, first and foremost.
Better than expected.
But it's better than expected.
I know,
like,
right? I don't know where he was.
The low expectations wallpapers.
I don't know where he was going with that title. I don't know why he chose that one. It doesn't quite connect itself to what this app is all about. But basically, it's a live wallpaper that connects to Reddit. So if you're a fan of Reddit, which I am, and increasingly, there's just so much visual cool stuff on Reddit all the time. So this is a live wallpaper. You can kind of see it a little bit, but I'll just go ahead and go in. So wallpapers, live wallpapers. I'll select it. Better than expected wallpaper. This is the way it's set right now. I think it's pulling in from Space subreddit. So you can select any number of subreddits, and basically what it's going to do is pull in a designated number of those images at whatever interval you want and rotate those through as your wallpaper on your phone. So right now I have it set as Space. I'll go ahead and add, I don't know, which one do you guys want me to add?
Sports or something? Or wallpaper?
HDR, sure. HDR. I don't know what we're going to get there. I hope nothing not safe for work. You can also add it, you know, your own custom subreddits, whatever you want. Fill the screen with a picture or just leave it sized normally. Scroll, you know, fade animation if you happen to be looking at it when an image fades from one to another. You can set that. But basically, you can set the time of day to download. I have it downloading at about 5 a.m. And right now, I think it's downloading a total of 5 pictures. I'll go ahead and increase that to 10 because why not have more? And you can set the cycle rate as well. You might not want to have this set too rapidly because you don't want it constantly doing things on your device, and it probably doesn't matter a whole lot. I have it set for every 10 minutes I get a different wallpaper cycled through, and then you can isolate it to download just on Wi-Fi. So I've gone ahead and set that up. Go ahead and let's see here. I thought that there was an accept. Maybe it just does it when I'm done. There we go. Wallpapers are being downloaded. Right now, I'm seeing the Space one, which is what I have. I'll go ahead and set
Mars?
The wallpaper. Yeah, it probably was. And let's see here. If you double tap on the wallpaper, because it's... Oh, I see. Because it's downloading right now, it's probably slowing me down. I probably should have shown it off before downloading. But essentially, what it'll do is it'll actually cycle through your wallpaper based on the subreddits that you select, which sounds kind of simple, but I actually love it because every day my wallpaper is just a little bit different. I wish it would be done downloading.
See, I always kind of avoid live wallpapers because I feel like they're going to be a bandwidth strain.
A battery strain?
Yeah, battery strain. And
I don't know. I don't see that they are necessarily.
Yeah, because I feel like it's adding more animation to the display, so it's going to increase the display drain as well as the downloading of the live wallpapers or things like that. But if it's got, I mean, that could just be me being an old man and not really knowing, you know, like. I don't want to.
Well, you know, I was worried about that too, but then I noticed that whenever I installed new ROMs, they always had these live wallpapers on by default, and I just stopped taking them out, and I still kind of noticed the same.
I remember when the Nexus 1 came out. Remember that was the first time it had the animated wallpaper, and I was like, I'm going to turn that right off. Like,
yeah,
forget
totally.
That.
I don't know. My experience was in the early days, you really did notice, but now things are just a little bit smoother. I don't know. Honestly, it's probably one of those things that you don't know the answer to for sure. But if you show it now, Chad, I can kind of show you. It's downloaded the screenshots, and normally this would happen, you know, behind the scenes. But if I double tap it, I can actually cycle through it manually. And they'll change. And I don't know. It's just kind of a cool way to keep things fresh on your desktop. I like setting it to Space because I like space shots myself. But and it was developed by a fan of the show. Eric Hubert created it. So, you know, if you like scanning Reddit for images and you want to not have to think about the wallpapers on your phone and have them cycle for you without you having to do anything, get this. The title is called Better Than Expected Wallpapers, and I happen to think it's pretty awesome. I'm loving
it. Was it better than expected?
I guess so. I don't know if I expected it to be anything. I just was like, okay, this looks kind of cool.
All right.
Cool. I like Reddit for imagey stuff, so I'll go ahead and put it on there. So that is this week's arena.
It's a good one.
Goji, Open Garden, better than expected wallpapers. You can vote at bit.ly/poll79AAA.
Ooh, they're all free.
Oh, they're all free.
They're all free. There you go. There's
our
theme.
There's
your
theme.
Yeah. bit.ly/poll79AAA and let us know what you think. Which is your favorite app? Early reports are in.
And better than expected. Than the early voting is better than expected.
Three votes are in. And it's a close race. It's going to be close early on. We'll check back in on this in a little bit. I also want to just throw out really quick, because this came out in chat and it kind of blew me away, because I've been meaning to do this for a really long time, but it looks like somebody did this. Theater Monkey in chat posted a link and I went ahead and made a bit.ly link out of it. bit.ly/allappsAAA. And that's going to take you to all the apps we've talked about on the show.
I saw this list and it's ridiculous.
I was like, oh, did somebody do Open Garden? Because I couldn't remember. I was like, maybe we did. And then
this list, the number of apps we've talked about is
yeah, at this point, it's really hard to keep track of it all. And it links to what show they've come from. And
that's awesome.
I mean, this is just ridiculous. This is redonk. This is something that I've been wanting to do. And thankfully, I don't have to do it now.
You did this,
thank you. I'm not sure if it was all thanks to you, Theater Monkey, but thanks to you for bringing it to our attention. And thanks to everyone who pitches in on the wiki at wiki.twit.tv. We really appreciate your help maintaining all of that information. I think that's kind of it for this week.
So this is just the arena.
Just
okay,
the arena.
Not in our app section. Okay, great.
Yeah, I think it's just the arena.
Yeah, which I think makes sense.
Yeah, it should only be arena. Yeah.
Sometimes the app sections are like.
Well, we should change that to a list presented or reviewed in All About Android
during the arena.
During the arena.
Yeah.
Just I mean, to be clear, because we talk about a ton of apps. We just did Piggies and Field Trip,
exactly.
And that's not, you know. Certain apps we didn't want to put in the arena because we knew they'd be popular.
Theater Monkey says 50%. So I'm assuming that means Theater Monkey did 50% of this.
Oh, great.
So there you go.
Cool. Thank
good
you.
Job. Thank you, everyone who maintains the wiki. You guys are awesome. Next week, we do have Brady Forrest.
Spoiled that already.
Yeah, you spoiled that. But he's been a guest a few times, and he was with
O'Reilly.
There we go. He was with O'Reilly. No longer with O'Reilly, but still an Android fan. So he's going
to
come.
No, he's not. That's breaking news to me, Chad.
Breaking news.
Oh, speaking of, we do have breaking news. This is important stuff. Thank you for reminding me.
This just got handed to you by the newsroom. Yeah.
Yes,
oh, my gosh.
This just came in. Breaking news. Petaluma Bookstore does not have Entertainment Weekly with Android device inside.
Oh, there you go. Breaking news.
I wonder if they wouldn't be that obvious if the Entertainment Weekly ones are, you know, wrapped up in plastic, the ones that have the
mine didn't come
can
in
you
plastic.
Bend
I don't think so because
will it bend?
I guess, yeah, you would just like grab the whole stack, which
yeah,
is,
exactly.
Yeah. See, it's like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
It is, yeah. Except
golden
you get,
ticket.
Yeah, except you get a practically useless phone.
But they made a call.
Yeah, well, after a
it's
lot. Did you see all that work they did?
It's cool. It's not like you're going to make your phone.
It's someone out there is like, finally, I knew if I waited from getting a cell phone, I would get one through some bizarre mean like this.
No, I do wonder, like, it has the T-Mobile SIM in it, and they used it to make call. Like, how long is that going to last?
Yeah, exactly. How many calls are on there?
Can you take that SIM and put it into something else?
Yeah,
and,
right.
I'm sure T-Mobile would be like,
They've got to have some sort of lockdown on that.
You'd be surprised, I think.
That is it for this week. Why don't we start the plug-a-thon? Ron, go.
Plug-a-thon. You can find me at about.me/RonXO, where you see my dumb face with all links to my Twitter and Facebook and Google Plus and all that fun stuff. And you can check me out every day over at ifanboy.com, website all about comic books. So I don't know why I said it that way, but I did.
Comic books.
I'm really tired.
Comic books.
Yeah.
And I
love it. Oh, there's your face.
Oh, my ugly face.
There's your face.
It's so big.
If you're watching the video, we're looking at Ron's
about.me
page.
It's my headshot.
Right. Yeah. You can find me on about.me/EileenRose. See my face.
My face.
There I am. If you're looking at the
video. That's a much better photo than mine. Yeah.
Thank you, Stephanie Chu, for photoshopping a little bit there. that's an older photo, actually, too.
I remember that.
And also Eileen TV on Twitter.
I'm going to use my time to promote something that I did last week that I'm very proud of.
Oh, I know what it is.
Punk rock album. If you're a punk fan, go to my site, jasonhowell.net, an old band that I was in about 20 years ago called Freakin' Ajar. We did
recently
this.
Reunited, didn't you?
Well, we did a reunion show that had, you know, was a record release, but everything's now in digital form. That's a really old photo. Buzz Out Loud time. I need to update that. But anyways, I have a blog post that has all the details for the album. It's
cool.
The album's called They Don't Call It Punk Anymore, and we spent a year recording it and mastering it.
20 years
mixing
ago?
Mixing it. No, this was
this last year. Oh, yeah. Wow. That's awesome.
So it's a new release, and we're very proud of it, and you can find it. If you're a member of Spotify, it's even in Spotify.
That's great. Like,
nice.
I'm stoked that it's in all these places because it's pretty easy to get to it. So,
congratulations.
Check it out. Freak in a Jar. They Don't Call It Punk Anymore. You can find out all the information at my site, jasonhowell.net, and that's it.
That's awesome.
Thanks. That's it for this week. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. You can always leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. You can send us an email, attach a link to that to a video. It becomes a video mail magically. Send that to AAA@twit.tv. You can find the show on Twitter. We are at Android Show. Show notes can always be found at twit.tv/AAA, as well as past episodes can be found on our site, iTunes, YouTube, ton of places. And finally, you can catch us live every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific at live.twit.tv. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android.
I'm going to make that phone call right now. Hey, Tom, I'll have the meatballs.
Meatballs.
Okay, bye.